It was a summer in the mid-1970s when Paul and Margaret White spent a couple of nights in the Sterling Reformed Presbyterian parsonage. My wife and I were on vacation, and they were there as he filled the pulpit in my absence. And we returned in time to greet them as they were about to leave and travel back to Winchester, Kansas, where they lived. And I'll never forget Paul asking my wife and me to join him and his wife in prayer as they were about to leave, that God would grant them safety in their journey. So we prayed. And then he said, "Let's sing together Psalm 121. And we did. The Traveler's Psalm. A very familiar psalm to most every one of us here, and most of us perhaps have sung this psalm as we've embarked on a trip in our car. Since this is such a familiar psalm, let's look to the Lord together now in prayer before we look at that psalm to read it and to hear it preached. Father in heaven, be pleased to give our hearts attentive ears as we hear these familiar 8 verses of Psalm 121 read in a moment. Holy Spirit, be pleased to grant us receptive hearts as these familiar words are read and opened unto us. And Lord Jesus, make yourself clear to us as we hear these words preached in a moment, that we, your brothers and sisters in the faith, may grow to reflect the family trait of confidence in Yahweh, our sure helper. That you, Jesus, may be glorified in us, we pray. Amen. Psalm 121 on page 965 in the Bible there in your pew. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. The psalmist reminds us, as Christians, we must never forget our sure helper, the triune God, the maker of heaven and earth, and He always keeps His covenant people. And we want to see how that's the case as we look, first of all, at the origin of the psalm. The origin of the psalm. Now, when I speak about the origin of the psalm, I'm not speaking about who it is that authored the psalm. We all know that the entire scripture, and particularly all of the psalms, are the very breath of God. God ultimately is the author of the psalm through whichever human agent he chose to use to write his words. When I say the origin of the psalm, I'm seeking to answer the question, when might this psalm have been written? Or what was the occasion of the psalmist writing the psalm? Many of us have found ourselves in situations where the two hands that God gave us were not sufficient to do the task at hand. And so what did we do? We needed others' hands to come and help. We're thinking about, is it next Saturday? Some hands are needed, I think, to help with the tweeds who are moving from the house they've sold into the homestead. And then the 3rd and 4th of September, Stephanie needs some hands to help as she moves from her folks' home down to a place near the seminary. And we have to ask when our two hands aren't sufficient for help, don't we? And therefore, there's a bit of humility that's needed when we ask for help. Then there are those times when we're in a specific situation doing something and we need two more hands and we haven't asked for help and we cry out and almost miraculously the right person comes to our aid. There are many conjectures as to when this psalm was written. What was the occasion? The one that stands out to me is the one that helps us see that this psalm was no doubt written when the psalmist found himself in one of those familiar situations during the old economy of the covenant of grace that the people of God often found themselves, and that was in the midst of a battle. The armies are lined up. And if you think of 1 Samuel 17, where we have the Philistines and we have the Israelites on their respective hills, and Elah, the valley between them, and there on the floor of that valley, the armies were supposed to make their battle lines. Here they were in the hills. There they would, if they would go to battle, fight. And well, we're not going to get into the story of Goliath and David. That's not the point. The point is for us to understand how there are these battlefields with hills on either side. So what would happen when you're down there in that valley fighting the enemy? If the enemy began to get the upper hand, you would be looking to the hills, hoping that allies would come over that hill to your aid. So that's probably the origin of this psalm. The psalmist finds himself with the people of God in a battle. And it wasn't uncommon, as the word would be sent out before the battle began, for the tribes who would come to help the people of God to watch for them to come over the hills to their aid. So there's the origin of the psalm. In a battle, looking to the hills, from whence shall come my aid? Old King James, you don't end a sentence with a preposition. NIV didn't understand that. And from where does the help come? Ultimately, the psalmist recognizes that ultimately, even if tribes come to their aid, even when people help next Saturday and the first Saturday of September, the Lord, He is the one who is our helper. And what a helper He is, for He is the maker of the heaven and the earth. He is the maker of the hills. He's the maker of the battlefield. He's the maker of all that is. So we pity the evolutionist who does not believe in God. And it doesn't surprise us that in our society, there's a great deal of emphasis on greening the globe, because we worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. So we look for our help in the creation for the sustaining of our lives ultimately, and not in the Creator of all that is ours. Now, mind you, I'm not speaking against caring for the creation that God has given us. But I find it peculiar that incentives are given to companies to make the cap on the top of a plastic bottle just a little bit smaller to protect our creation. I'm all for it. But if it's because Mother Nature has to be placated, then it's not something that I'm all that excited about. Who is our helper? The Creator of the heavens and the earth. And when we understand this is our helper, it's not long before we recognize He therefore is our sure helper. He is our sure helper. We can rely on Him. And this word that is translated helper is a word that appears very early on in the Bible. In fact, it appears when we have the account of the creation of Adam's wife. Adam needed a suitable, a fit helper. His two hands weren't sufficient to bear the image of God as God intended him to bear it. He needed the suitable helper. And God created for him her, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. She came from him. She was for him. Yahweh, our sure helper, made us and now is here to be the extra hands we need in our everyday life. Now, the psalmist uses a word six times throughout verses 3-8. And that word that is used six times in those verses in the NIV is translated five times, watches over, and once, keep. It's the same Hebrew word. You would expect that. Because it's the same Hebrew word, I think it's important to translate it the same way in this particular context. And certainly it's encouraging and comforting and satisfying for us to understand that God's watchful eyes are always upon us. He always sees us in every circumstance that we find ourselves.
just like we watch over what our children are doing, or we watch over what our employees are doing, or our employer watches over what we're doing. The NIV on one occasion translates the word keep. Listen to the song. If we translate that word in the Hebrew, shamar, with the word keep. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, it indeed is comforting to know the Lord watches over me. But to know that He keeps me, how much surer of a helper do I need than one who keeps me near and dear to Himself? Just as Eve should have been the suitable helper who would have kept Adam from the serpent, so we will see that Yahweh, our sure helper, is such as He keeps us. And notice that He keeps our foot from moving because He is a sleepless keeper. Now, if you're in a battle and you're growing weary, and the time comes for darkness to set in and the troops to retreat until they may fight again in the daylight, are you going to be able to sleep? Will you be restless in your sleep because you're afraid if you fall asleep, the enemy might sneak up on you in the darkness and get you? You're afraid to go to sleep at night because of the thunder and you might get hurt. But God is the rescuer because He's not asleep. And He says, it's okay. I'm awake. I'm watching over you. In fact, I'm keeping you. So we may rest when it's time to rest, when we're in a battle. And because He doesn't sleep, He makes sure our feet don't move inappropriately when we're in that battle. When we're weary, what happens to our feet when we're in a battle? But God, who keeps us because He doesn't sleep, holds our feet firmly where He would have us stand. Notice that He keeps me individually as well as He keeps us corporately by staying awake all the time. He keeps your feet because He keeps the feet of the covenant people, Israel. That's our sleepless keeper. But he's more than a sleepless keeper. He is a protecting and refreshing keeper. He's a protecting and a refreshing keeper. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. When the sun's hot and we're pressing the 80s and the 90s and we're out on a battlefield, how comforting it is to have some shade. Protects us from sunstroke. And then the psalmist talks about what it's like to have the Lord as his shade at night. Protects us from becoming lunatics. Right? And that's important as you're in battle. That he shades us from sunstroke. And then when we are sleeping at night, that he protects us from the moon so that we don't become lunatics. And perhaps the psalmist is remembering how the Lord is that cloud for his people through the wilderness and into the promised land by day. And he's that fire at night for his people. You think of Jonah and the shade that's provided for him by the Lord growing up that plant. We think of those cold nights when the warmth, the fire of the Lord brings that comforting blanket to our sleep. But he's more than a protector. What happens when you come under a shade tree in the heat of the day? There's a bit of refreshment, isn't there? It's a little bit cooler in the shade. And there's refreshment at night, knowing that I'm kept in the warmth of my Creator and Sustainer. The soldier is not to forget the triune God who made heaven and earth is his sure helper. He always keeps his covenant people. He's sleepless. He protects and he refreshes. He's also a perpetual keeper. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. How encouraging it is for the soldier to know Yahweh keeps him as he enters into the battle and as he returns from the battle. But there's not only the sense that the Lord keeps him going and coming, but the Lord keeps his family back home. Because when the soldier's out on the battlefield, who's back there with the women and the children to protect them from the enemy who might want to slip in the absence of the soldiers who are out fighting and plunder them? He keeps our going and our coming. He keeps our back as well. And he does this perpetually. He doesn't simply do this when we're in battle, but he does this for us all the time. While the origin of the psalm indeed may well be a battle setting. The picture that he gives us of our sure helper as being one who's sleepless, as being one who protects and refreshes, as being one who is perpetually there, moves us to think in terms of the fact that not only when we're in the battle, but when we're back home, he is our keeper. Because he who begins a good work in us will not forsake the work of his hands. So then, how is this psalm used? We've seen the origin, we've seen the content, and now we want to see how the psalm is used. And we already understand the psalm is used when the people of God are in a battle. But when I was there with my wife and the whites, not only did we pray for the safety of their journey, but we sang this psalm, which has come to be known as the Traveler's Psalm. Why do we know it as the Traveler's Psalm? Well, I submit to you, it's because it's found amidst these 15 psalms that have that title, Psalm of Ascent. This is one of the 15 psalms that the Holy Spirit saw fit to bring together in this mini Psalter, Psalms 120 through Psalm 134, for the people of God. No, for the men of Israel to sing those three times they made their way throughout the year to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, to the temple, to enjoy the feasts that reminded them, indeed, Yahweh is far more than one's helper. He's far more than one's keeper. He's our Redeemer. So we sing this psalm. I to the hills will lift my eyes as we leave home. And our wives and children are behind. And we start out that journey through the hills where there are wild animals and where there are robbers. From where is our help? As we make that journey to Jerusalem to worship the Lord, in the old economy of the covenant of grace, our help in those situations is from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And so it becomes a psalm that we sing when we set out on our journey, reminding us that when we put our foot on the gas pedal or when we put our foot on the brake, who's our helper? Who's our keeper? The Lord. The Lord. He's our sure helper. Brothers and sisters, the psalmist is talking far more deeply than what it's like for the people in the old economy of the covenant of grace to go off into battle as God called his people to do, to defeat his enemy. And as God called his men to come to worship. The psalm is the psalm that addresses us in our everyday battle in life with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This psalm is a psalm that we need to sing because we recognize that as the children of God, ultimately our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of wickedness. And so when we find ourselves being tempted by the lust of the flesh, by the lust of the eyes, by the pride of life, we know better than to look to the hills for our help. What do I mean by that? We know better than to make, handle not, taste not, touch not, laws to help us defeat those foes that are there every day. Our flesh wants what it ought not to have. Our eyes want what they ought not to have. Our pride that we can do it. Don't ask for help to pack. Don't ask for help to move. Don't ask for help. We're sufficient in ourselves to do it. We look to the hills. And indeed we say, Lord, build this hedge and this fence around me. Lord, do bring those many physical hands to help. But Lord, when it comes to my journey from birth to the kingdom of God, I must never forget the triune God who made heaven and earth. Is my sure helper. And he always keeps his covenant people. Are you resting in that covenant relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you? Are you resting in Jesus Christ by grace, through faith, as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes knocking at the door? Is Jesus the sure helper to whom you turn for victory, for victory, for victory in the battles of every day that are just as real as Goliath standing before the troops of Israel, defying them? Where is your strength? Jesus, in the person of David, walked out onto that battlefield and said, not in the hills do I conquer you, the enemy of God, my enemy. Oh yes, he takes the stone and he takes the sling and he uses them to shoot that stone right between the eyes. But how is it that he did it? Not because he had killed bears and lions before in his own strength, but because he stood in the name of the Lord. This psalm It's a psalm that we ought to sing every morning when we wake up. I to the hills will lift my eyes, from whence shall come my aid? God's fearfully and wonderfully made us. He's gifted us and talented us to do oh so many things, and for every one of those things we give Him praise and thanks. But at the end of the day, just as at the start of the day, our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He is our sure helper. We must never forget that, because He keeps us in Christ Jesus unto Himself. Amen. Father in heaven, these words are so familiar. We sing them when we embark on trips in our cars or in planes. Help us, our Father, to sing this psalm every day as You write these words on our heart, so that we remember You are our sure helper. You are indeed the one who never slumbers or sleeps. You are the shade that protects us from sunstroke and lunacy. You are the one who perpetually keeps us. Because once You begin that good work in us, You will not forsake it. And oh, Father, forgive us for all the times that we look to the hills and think that in the things of this world we find our help. At the same time, we thank You for all the things that You've given us in this world that do indeed help us. We go from point A to point B so much the easier now than in Jesus' day. Thank You for all the helps that we have. But thank You for all the help that we have, because You and You alone are the one who indeed, as the Apostle Paul reminds us, will rescue us from every evil deed and bring us safely into Your heavenly kingdom. So all the glory belongs to You, both now and forever. Amen. What a joy it is to know that the Lord keeps our soul. Keeps our soul perpetually, even on through death itself. And so we'll sing from Psalm 121, the A selection. Or the D selection, Psalm 121, selection D. Let's stand as we sing.